It is great to be with you guys here on Easter morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there's been so many new faces here at St. Peter this morning at all of the services, including this one. And so I just wanted to take an opportunity to introduce myself. I am Pastor John Cordray. I serve as the lead pastor here at St. Peter's. Been here for about a year and a half now, and it has been just a joyous and exciting year for me and for my family. And I'll tell you what, when my family and I moved up here from Houston, Texas, we knew that things would be a little bit different, but we had no idea how different it would be. We had no idea what it was going to be like to go from a city of 2 million to a city or town of 50,000. We had no idea, never even imagined that one day we would go over to our friend's house, get out of our car, and be greeted by the moos of cattle. I never imagined that I'd become one of those people who complains about driving 10 minutes to Chick-fil-A from the other side of town. There have been so many differences for us as we've made that shift, but one of the biggest things that stands out, and you guys are going to laugh at me, you've heard this from me, the seasons are incredible. They're absolutely incredible, and I know if you've been born and raised here, it's probably just old hat to you, but for those of us from the South, there is no seasons. It's just hot most of the year. And so when we came and we began to experience the seasons, it was just so cool, especially that transition, right? Just as the summer heat gets to be too much, that one cool day comes in, blows a little bit of wind, and you know what's coming. The trees, in just a matter of weeks, explode into color. And then you get that first little snow on the ground, and it tells you, man, winter is coming, and the guys, winter is so cold. And I know it's been mild. Y'all have told me that, but if it gets worse, I'm going to die. Okay? And it's so gray, and it's the gray for so long. And that's what makes this last transition that we've just come through so powerful, because those gray clouds break and the sun finally comes out, and it's like, hallelujah, Jesus, this is finally warming up, and you get that first 70 degree day, and it feels so good. You know, my family has learned to anticipate and wait for that change, for that new season to come, and it's exciting and it's engaging. We're like, yes, finally, it's warming up, this is good. You know, whether it's we're talking about the passing of the seasons, or we're talking about transition from one week to the next, or even just the hope of a new day at the end of a long night, there's something in us. It's as though we are wired to look for new things to come. And what we find in life so often is that they are filled with these new experiences that we have that leave lasting and indelible marks on our life. They change us forever. Whether that's going to a new place that you've never been before and experiencing everything brand new, or that wash of emotion that comes when you meet the first love of your life. Or maybe you've had this experience when you hold your first child for the very first time. You know, even in the simple things like a new pair of shoes or the fit of new clothes, we're reminded how in life we long and look for the new. In that passage that Pastor Adam read from Revelation 21, we hear from the Apostle John, at the very end of all of the scriptures, we hear John having a vision, and he begins to describe that vision of what he's seen, and he says, I see a new heaven and a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. Three times he says, new, new, new. And what we hear is not just a word in the book of Revelation. What we hear is a promise of God. A promise of God of what is to come. And for hearts that long for the new, for hearts that are wired to hope in anticipation for that new, it's exciting. This kind of promise resonates with us because you hear those words of a new heaven and a new earth, and it sparks your imagination. What is it going to be like? What is it going to feel like and look like? Is it going to be anything like what we experienced here now. And your imagination begins to take off. The whole idea really just draws us in, doesn't it? Makes you wonder. But underneath this whole idea of a new heaven and a new earth, there's actually a question with really a dark answer. An answer that I think many of you here today know, and if you don't know it, then I can guarantee you, you've felt the answer in your own life. You see, the question is this: why do we need a new heaven and a new earth and even a new Jerusalem? Well, time and time again in the life and ministry of Jesus, what we see him doing is going around and working signs and wonders, miraculous performances of healings and things. He cures the leper. He gives sight to the blind. The lame get up and walk. The sick are healed. Even the dead are raised at the command of Jesus. And each of these, the diseases, the blindness, the paralysis, the death, every one of these is just a real life experience of sin. And that sin has brought nothing but pain and brokenness and hurt and death into our world. Guys, that's why at the end of all scripture, God says, I'm going to make all things new, because sin and death have destroyed what God had created good. And if you didn't already know that, I can guarantee you, you have felt it. Time and again in Jesus' ministry, he performed those miraculous signs and wonders. Each sign, each wonder in turn points us to a greater reality to come. Sometimes we see the miracles of Jesus and we think, that's it. That's all we need is a miracle from Jesus. But the reality is every one of his healings in the gospel pointed to a greater reality. And that greater reality, that greatest wonder, the greatest miracle of all time is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is his victory over sin and death. It is his redemption of this broken world. And it is his making of all things new. Early that Easter morning, as that sun was starting to rise, Jesus stepped out of that tomb. And with each step, he left behind the old. He left behind the old heavens, and he left behind the old earth. He left behind sin, and he left behind death. With each new step out of that grave came with him the new heavens, the new earth that was promised by God and guaranteed. Guaranteed through the victory over sin and death. And through that victory, Jesus is making all things new. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And yet, on that very first Easter morning, the women who came to the tomb had one single expectation in mind: to find Jesus' body still tucked away in that tomb. They came that morning in the dark, feeling defeated by the dark powers of this world. The brokenness of sin, the violence that poured forth from it, and all the heartache that was left in its wake, they had experienced it all that weekend. They experienced every bit of it as they watched Jesus be arrested, beaten, crucified, and die. And even though Jesus three separate times told them that these things had to happen, that he must suffer and die and rise from the dead, three times he told them, still on that morning, the power of sin had them convinced that Satan had won. And still today, we feel and we carry the weight of sin in our lives. We carry the weight of guilt in our lives. We experience all the pain and all the heartache that it brings. And when we look around, it feels still today like we're surrounded by nothing but death all the time. Just weeks ago, our country was rocked yet again by a school shooting. Six lives, six innocent lives lost among the many that have gone before them. We watch the news and our hearts break, and we feel so much like the women did on that first Easter morning, defeated. And when we feel that sense of defeat, we begin to ask this question: how is this all things new? And we ask, how is it that Christ is making all things new in the midst of all of this? Well, when the women arrived that morning, they arrived expecting defeat. They arrived expecting a body, but what they found was an empty tomb. And what they discovered was a promise proven to be true. Listen to the words of the angel who spoke to the women that morning. He said, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." You see, Jesus wasn't there because he had risen from the dead, because death could not hold him and the grave had no power over him. His promise to rise was found to be true in the evidence of that empty tomb. It's why the angels told the ladies to come and see where they had been laid, because he was not there. The tomb was empty. And that word of promise fulfilled in his resurrection proved that God's promise is true, that he is and will continue to make all things new. 2 Peter, it's going to come out, guys, a book written by the Apostle Peter, says this. He says, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare." And I know that passage doesn't sound much like an Easter passage. In fact, it sounds kind of scary. But when you put it into the right perspective, you realize what a blessing it is. See, when God comes to take away everything, to lay the whole earth bare, what he does at the same time is he wipes away all the sin and all the brokenness and all the death. And in the words of Peter, we, in keeping with God's promise, are still looking forward to that new heaven and new earth where righteousness dwells. You see, what Christ began on Easter, making all things new, he has promised to finish as the old will pass and the new will come. And he will bring a place where there is no more death, there is no more mourning, no more crying, no more tears, because God himself will wipe those tears away. And though we continue to wait for that fullness of the new heavens and the new earth, this is what we know. The power of sin and the hold of death has been broken because that tomb was empty. We know that in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into the living hope through his resurrection, because that tomb was empty. And as we wait according to his promise, we already have begun to experience what God has wired us to long for and look for: the newness of Jesus for all who believe in him. And guys, what that means is that where we have experienced dead ends that steal our joy and our hope, Jesus makes new paths and resurrects that hope for the future. Where we lost our way and lost ourselves, maybe in sin and darkness, maybe we don't even recognize the person in the mirror any longer, Jesus' resurrection means that he will resurrect us as a new creation in him. And where we have seen, experienced, or even faced the end of life, with his resurrection, Jesus takes away all our fear. For he has gone before us into that dark place, and he has overcome that grave. You see, he is making all things new. And today on this Easter morning, I wonder where in your life you need those dead ends resurrected to a new hope and future. Is today that day that your dead past is left there and you rise walking out of here as a new creation in Jesus? Is now the time that the hope and promise of eternity brings a greater comfort to you than ever before? Even as you face just the shadow of the valley of death, because death has been conquered. In this Easter, Jesus makes all things new. And is this Easter the one he makes all things new in you? This morning we started out in Revelation 21 talking about the new heavens and the new earth. We also talked about a new Jerusalem, but we haven't touched on that. Many times when we read that passage, people think that New Jerusalem is just a new holy city for God's people. But the truth is this, the New Jerusalem is God's people. That New Jerusalem is you made new in Jesus. It's a symbol for all of us. And what's amazing is as John sees that New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, it's adorned and prepared in a beautiful way to be in the very presence of God. And I hope that as you celebrate our Lord's resurrection, you know that God is moving heaven and earth to bring you into his presence through his son's death and resurrection. I hope you know that God is establishing a new relationship with you and giving you a new and eternal hope and life. He is making all things new through his resurrection. Amen? Amen? I invite you to please stand and pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we give thanks on this glorious Easter morning for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For when he went to the cross, he took our sins with him. And in his resurrection, he has now given us life and life to the fullest. Lord, help us to walk out of this place, a new creation in you, to live the life that you have given to us, and remind us never to be afraid, for death has been conquered. The grave holds no power over us, for Jesus has risen. We pray this all in his strong and powerful name. Amen.